This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Ooh, shit, just like Uniblab. Wow. Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad,
and this is In the Conversation.
Yes, sir.
Oh man, rest in peace to Craig Mack. I just wanted to kick it off with that real fast. Yes,
we'll take our customary moment of silence for Craig Mack.
Yeah, let's get that.
And then if you want to subscribe.
I mean, come on now. You know, shit. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good, feeling great. You know, out back in these New York streets, feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
How was L.A., man?
L.A. was beautiful.
Yeah?
Not just weather-wise, but it was good for the spirit. It was good for business, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was good for... It was like a spark, a reigniting of a certain part of my hustle that had been, I hadn't done the West Coast, like a real business West Coast trip. I've went out there, I've shot,
right.
Went out there for an event right quick, came back. But I haven't done a round robin, go hit all of the offices
the
and
streets.
Trying to get some type of trip and shit since 2006.
So let me ask you that. How has it changed?
It was right where I left it at.
Really? Same players, same locations?
I mean, a lot of the same players, new players and stuff, but I checked in with the old players, you know
okay.
what I'm saying? Because now the old players are at different places doing bigger things. And
good to hear they still playing.
Oh, yeah, still a lot of playing. Uh-huh. But, you know what I'm saying, the main thing is that it was like I got off the plane. You know, usually I get off and then I run to whatever I'm going to do. But this time, you know, I knew I had a week. You know, I'm going to ease into it. You know, I already missed the Oscars, so that was whatever. Mm. So now it was just, you know, all right, let's get down to business. And so what I realized was that in moving around, in knowing that, all right, I only have this amount of days to make all of these things happen, and knowing that I want to get in and get something, come back with something, it just brought in a new energy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hitting everybody. I'm hitting niggas I ain't even know. You know what I'm saying? I'm hitting whatever players that I could hit. Mm-hmm. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm doing whatever.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going out.
Okay. Like,
and I'm out here.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying?
And it was clicking.
And it was popping. Even the cats who I knew wasn't going to meet with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They still responded like, you know what I'm saying? I can't do it this time. I'm on the plane. Or this, that, and the third. But the exercise of just putting your name in the conversation was, it just elevates you.
Yeah, no,
you know
what I'm saying? Shit. Yeah.
So then when you're moving around and, you know, everybody's, you know, they receptive. And it's not. And what I realized is that I had a lot of success out there. And it wasn't necessarily the sales each time I do something or each time I pitch something, everybody buy into it. It's not necessarily what you're going out there to pitch. What I rediscovered was that it's more about the information you come back with, you know what I'm saying? Just the little tidbits of shit that you wouldn't get normally, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like that little bit of information that's like, oh, that's how they doing it now?
On the ground information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, if that's how they doing it, I'm going to come back. I'll be back with some new shit for y'all. Watch.
Thank you.
So it's always those, that kind of information.
Right.
And then that feeling of kind of like living in the future.
Right.
Because like sometimes you're sitting in something and it's like, oh, shit, that's about to be big.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was at a dinner with my homie Tubby, and he's an A&R guy.
Yeah.
Sean Tubby Holiday, shout out to him.
All right.
Went to FAMU with us. We was at a dinner, and, you know, they was doing their deal. They was doing their record industry business, as per usual. And you hearing some of the deals that's happening, it's like, oh, shit, that's going to be big.
Yeah. I miss that. Like, I miss that from being at magazines. Because you'd hear about shit a couple months beforehand.
Right.
And to your point, you live it in the future. You're like, that shit impact.
Right.
And it feel good. You got an exclusive. Like, ooh, y'all don't even know.
And then you could go and make moves.
Could leverage that.
You leverage the future. It's like insider trading.
But
when you sitting on that, when you don't put yourself in it,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You don't really get all of that information. And then I guess the last part is really is just that it just feel good just kicking it, you know what I mean, with people that you haven't kicked it with, that you've done business with, and not necessarily that you are going to do business now. It's just, man, you throwing it back and forth, and motherfuckers glad to see you still playing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just as much as you glad to see them still playing.
Right.
And you get to see the people that you... I went with one of my cats who was, you know, he was interning for Bobito when I met him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? When we was at the 2050 office. And now he over at Beats doing his thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
So it's like you get to see people rise up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I met with my cousin Brandy, who, you know, she was a young jit when she moved to Atlanta to work on Stomp the Yard. Mm. Now she over at ABC doing her thing. She got a playlist on Spotify called Butter that, you know what I'm saying, that's getting it cracking. So
look at that.
It's interesting to watch them rise, to come back to the players that was doing it and done it, and be able to put it all together and make a whole lot of shit happen. So it's got a whole lot of shit on the table right now just off of looking, seeing, hearing, and motherfucking talking.
Well, that's what's up. You find yourself, you think you're going to start incorporating visits a little bit more frequently?
Oh, most definitely. That's what my wife said. You should go more often then. I was like, that's strange for her to,
hilarious,
to welcome you to go your ass somewhere. So what I am is trying to close some of the stuff that's on the table, but right, definitely looking for a place.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And what I found out is that not the move, but a once a month spot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the best, the people who move from New York to Los Angeles, they the best pitch people for that damn city.
Oh, man. Listen. Shout out to Nikki P. There's a few people I know that do that. They work for the tourism committee.
Exactly. They like, man, listen.
It's a lot going on out here. It's great schools. It's like, all right.
You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, you stuck because it's a snowstorm in New York.
there ain't no snowstorm in L.A.
Nah, but they pitch it like it's, whoo.
Did you go past your old spot?
Apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah, you always had to ride by there.
Always have to do that. You always got to see what it is. Did it feel like, would you ever return back to that location? Or does that feel like that's in the past?
Yeah, it's kind of in the past. You know what I'm saying? I still love the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I still love the West Hollywood area.
Right.
Because it was the Palazzo, you know, right across from the Grove. Because you spend a lot of time in the Grove. They got a Barnes & Noble's over there.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? But I did something totally different. I stayed downtown this time, which it was totally off the radar.
Yo, I've been thinking about that the last couple times. Everybody's like, oh, downtown's popping, whatever. I never used to go to downtown at all. I've been downtown maybe twice in my entire time going there, like to really just see what it was. I hear so much about it, but it just feels like it's not even anything that I consider. You know what I mean?
It's not, because it's not none of the name brand spots. You know what I'm saying? None of the, you know what I mean? You got the standard down there, but it's like,
congested down that way, too. Kind of feeling
really, it's just the part. Just the part. Mm-hmm. So, the homie DJ Clean just moved out there. He hasn't actually even moved in yet.
Okay.
So, he got an apartment downtown. He let me Airbnb it. So, I'm basically in an apartment downtown. The inside of the apartment is dope. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's a renovated building. There's nice, big loft, big ass loft and shit. You could tell a lot of artists and shit live in the building. A lot of young, cool, you know, all kind of races with their dogs and coffee and nice sneakers and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then you step outside. As soon as you step out the door, it's just so much homelessness. You know what I'm saying? And it's like you know, right off of Skid Row. So right, it's just like the block of homeless people, they just all through it. You know what I'm saying? So it makes you feel, it's like gentrification on steroids. So it makes you feel like a real colonizer. You come and you step out with your little nice sneakers and then as soon as you hit the door, yo, get that dollar, get a dollar. You be like, God. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Then you get one and then it's like, yo, me too. What about me? Then it's like, oh, Lord, what the fuck? So it's like, it's a weird vibe as far as being outside down there, you know, but they have some nice spots. My man Damani had a spot a couple blocks over that was real nice, you know what I'm saying? Mm. High rise building, overseeing the whole shit. So it's, you know, it's interesting because it's still cheap. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They got some nice spots, but then you do have the element. There ain't nowhere to park either.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like it feels very city more than any other spot in LA that I've been past.
So that was dope, man. You know, we did it, we done it, came back with a lot to work on. Mm-hmm. And you know, shit. The way I look at it, I filled my notebook with a few years worth of work.
That's what's up.
If I could get it done.
That's good to hear.
So that's you know. Mm. Coming back feeling like Superman.
That's what's up. I was fucked up this whole weekend.
What you doing?
I just had a cold. I caught a cold. I was taken down.
You had the flu cold or the cold?
I don't know. I think I just had the regular shit. I got nervous though, cause you know, everybody, this flu shit was this was a strong flu season. A lot of people was getting bodied by this flu.
Right.
I don't want to go out to no flu. That's, you know. So and then what I thought about honestly last time I seen my I went for a physical. Mm-hmm. My doctor was pushing the flu shot. You know what I mean? I don't fuck with that since Tuskegee.
Nah,
I don't fuck with the just out the blue flu. He was fault. You sure? I'm like, nah. Did you get one? Yeah, I got one. Nah, I'm good. You should get one. Nah, I'm fine. If I get the flu, we'll figure it out then. But don't hit me with the shit.
I ain't had the flu in 15 years.
And I asked a couple friends of mine that are doctors, do they get the flu shot? And they were like, no. So that bugged me out. What also bugs me out too is oftentimes, and I guess they, you know, they see it up close. But you'd be surprised how many doctors don't really go to the doctor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you know, they're too smart.
They right there.
I diagnose myself.
They feel like they got it. Yeah, I guess so. Like,
hold this light. Hold that light. Exactly. What you see? Okay. Yeah, man, I don't know, man. You know, they be under pressure to push these drugs and shit. So, you know. It's opioid season around this motherfucker, man. They ain't gonna sell me on every drug.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't fucking with that. But so I was just chilling. I was laid up. I was watching a lot of TV because I had nothing really else to do. I watched a show on Netflix called 7 Seconds.
Did you watch most of it?
I watched the entire shit. Did you watch it?
And I'm on the first episode.
All right, so we ain't gonna really get too deep into it. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I don't want to spoil it. I'm trying not to spoil things as much.
Okay.
Because I'm good to go from zero to spoiling the whole situation. My synopsis game isn't the best.
Well, let's not synopsize, dude. Tell us just how you felt.
Well, it'd be hard for me to tell you how I felt because it has a lot to do with the resolution. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I don't want to fuck it up for you. I will say this, though. It's always good to see Regina King get her acting on.
No doubt.
I thought about this, and it could be wrong, but Regina King remind me of like the Lil Wayne of acting. You know? Because I know Regina King since she was Brenda on 227.
No doubt.
And she came, I remember her as a child actor. Mm-hmm. Now she's a grown woman who's killing shit.
Right. I mean, I think she had a point where she was really popping. And then
like around Show Me the Money time?
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? But that had Show Me the Money was fresh off of like, you know what I'm saying? Boys in the Hood. Da, 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 da. She was, so Boys in the Hood might have been 92. Right. Then she had a few more in between Show Me the Money. Then it was Show Me the Money. She was at the kind of like at the height of that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then she had a couple other things, you know. And then, you know, she kind of went away a little bit.
But when she pop up, she's good. Remember, like, damn.
She popped up in this Christmas after having been gone when she whooped Laz Alonso ass in the shower.
I didn't see that shit. This Christmas is from the gospel?
Yeah, this Christmas is Will Packer.
Is that the one with Monique?
Nah, that was the
other Christmas.
Kind of like the sequel of that one.
What was that, Family Holiday or something?
Nah,
like
that was Almost Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So this Christmas was Chris Brown, Idris,
right.
Regina King, Laz Alonso.
And she gave Laz Alonso the hands?
No, she gave him the motherfucking belt like a child.
Oh, really?
like auntie.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, she baby wore the whole bathroom down while he was in the shower. Then called.
So he would slip?
Yes, called him out like, yo, what the fuck's going on? He like, what up? Then she swapped his ass with the whoosh. Then he's like, hey! Then he starts slipping on that baby oil.
Oh, I got
that was the funniest part of the whole movie.
That sounds hilarious. Yeah, I didn't even know
she
that.
She came back strong with that one.
Yeah. Well, she rocked it in 7 Seconds. Yeah, I want to get into it, but I want you to see it. You know what I mean? Well, you get back to me on that. But I watched that. What else did I watch? So that was a good 10 episodes. I fell through that. I was watching Planet Earth, the new one.
What the fuck is that?
You never seen Planet Earth?
No.
You might want to fuck with Planet Earth. Look at Matt perked up. Planet Earth is the shit.
It's been around for a while.
It's basically, especially you, because you like video and shit like this.
But what channel was it on?
I guess it might have been on either Discovery or Channel 13.
It was originally BBC.
Okay, right.
So David Attenborough does really beautiful nature documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of those beautiful scenes you'll see, just nature.
And they get in there. Like, you know how the nature motherfuckers always got the best camera game. Like, they get in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So basically this new one is like mountains. Then there's the jungle, then there's islands or whatever. I watched the mountains one most recently. Shit was crazy. It's just so high stakes in the wild.
Life or death?
It's life or death like a motherfucker. They talking about, you know, the people that could even survive in the mountains because it's not, you know, you're so elevated, it's not much water. So they got I forget the name of the goats, but they got the goats that be on the little, you know, the real steep, clip faces where they like, tim, and they like real dexterity. Oh man. So they showing them and they showing like how the little kids got to learn because you got to learn at your peril. Either you're going to die or you're going to learn. So you just see how they navigate it. Then you see the foxes at the bottom waiting to set it off. You just see everybody in their element, how this shit works out, who's going to, and then there's a little bit of killing. You know what I mean? But the shit looks amazing. It looks amazing.
And it's the kind of stuff where people will wait around for 9 months to get one shot of this animal that is on the endangered species list kind of deal.
True.
Yeah, they got like snow leopards.
They ain't doing that shit for free.
Getting it in. What you mean doing
they getting
free?
Paid.
Oh, yeah, they getting paid.
It's 9 months to get that shot, too.
Trust me.
I'm not sure they're getting paid enough to make me go into the wilderness for 9 months.
I'm sure.
Nazi civilization.
I'm sure Planet Earth got a budget. That shit don't look like they are skimping on any, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure if it's people who are trying to be filmmakers or if it's scientists who are out there trying to observe the animals and just happen to be getting shots as well.
I mean, it could even be
either way. So
it might be a compilation of all of that, but there's a budget. I don't think that shit is not, wasn't no pro bono type shit.
David Attenborough, whoever's sitting in the studio doing the narration, yeah, he's getting paid. I'm not sure how much the cameramen and cinematographers are getting paid.
I'm getting paid by the day. If it's on TV, they probably getting union rate too. They getting paid now.
Because I wouldn't even know David Attenborough if it wasn't for that footage.
Union day rate?
Hell yeah. 9 months union day rate, half that shit, you just sitting in the tree?
Chilling.
Pass me my coffee.
Looking at a monitor.
You know what I mean? The camera already set out there waiting and shit. You just sitting back.
Stakeout ass.
Looking at the monitor waiting for a motherfucker and rodent to pass through.
You in a white van in the jungle. You got a fucking Silverado.
Yeah, I built you a custom hut and shit.
That's funny.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was cool. I was watching that.
I thought you was talking about some type of show. I didn't know you were talking about a documentary.
Nah, I was watching that. It's a show.
I mean, I thought you was talking about like, you know, like a narrative, like a fiction.
No.
Planet Earth.
I mean, I'm still watching, you know, the narratives. I'm watching Atlanta still, The Chi.
Yeah, I saw Atlanta.
Yeah, that was funny. What else? Some other shit, man. Something else. I can't remember.
I went and checked out The Wrinkle.
Wrinkle in Time?
Yeah. Support Ava.
Did you take your daughter or you took your whole family?
The whole family went, man. Everybody.
Yeah, I've been on some real cinematic fellowship.
Hey, they need to keep it going because, you know, the black movie going experience has been lit.
Yeah.
They must be out deep.
What's different from the white movie going experience?
No, I'm just talking about in the last two, you know what I'm saying, to support the black movie.
The morale is high.
You know what I mean? It's just, people are excited. People coming out in droves. Like, they bringing the whole crew.
The morale.
Taking pictures, making sure you know that we came and support.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see. Because even on, you know, white movie going experience, they do that shit every week. So, they not really excited. They not out there taking pictures.
Because it's not like voting for them.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Matt, you don't go take pictures at the movies, do you? With the
poster. He plugs his
not
fucking
once
movie
in my
pass.
Goddamn life.
Not once in his life, see? We did it a whole bunch of times. Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of movies.
Y'all got dressed up for Wrinkle in Time, too?
No, we didn't get dressed up for, my wife did, though.
Yeah,
my wife
got dressed up Wakanda for Wakanda.
But, nah, we didn't get dressed up. We went.
How was it?
It was interesting.
Yeah, hold on now.
No, I mean, it was interesting. It was interesting.
Go ahead. Split.
Because, the thing about it is, again, I'm not trying to spoil it, but the thing was, for me, mm-hmm. I love the message. I love the symbolism. I loved all that shit.
Did you read the book? Were you one of these people that read the book?
Of course I didn't read the book.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to be like, of course I've read the book. Because a lot of motherfuckers is on that. You know?
Nah, I didn't read the book. I didn't even know it was a book. I didn't know it existed to the promo of the movie, and they said Ava was directing.
Okay. So go ahead. So you said
I like the messaging. I like what they was doing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a black movie.
Okay.
Let's get that off the table.
Right.
It's a Disney movie uh-huh. that has a couple of black people in it.
Okay. It's not Black Panther.
No, it's not that at all. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And that's not a knock.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's just one of the things that I did take away from it. While I love the imagery, I love the beautifulness of it, and you know the storyline and how they integrated things. There's not many black people in the universe. The story is of the universe.
Okay.
It's like, shit, we ain't even in the universe.
We ain't in the future. I see no future for you, Negroes.
There's no future for us. But
fear of a black planet.
Like, we're not even in the universe. Mm-hmm. So I took that as a note. And then the only other thing that I would say is it's a Disney movie with black people in it is because like in certain scenarios, and I'm sure you know if you saw it you would agree, certain scenarios that happen is less totally like a Disney response to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, wait a minute.
Disney being Disney.
It's like Disney being
Get
Disney.
Get the fuck out of
it's
here.
Not, it's not like you like, that's a black mama. She would have responded right. a whole lot differently
right.
than that.
She got Disney-fied.
Yeah, she was Disney-fied, but you know, it's a Disney movie, so you expect that.
How was Oprah?
Oprah was Oprah.
Oprah was Oprah.
Oprah was Oprah.
Oprah's like Oprah. Oprah's in Oprah's Oprah in everything except The Color Purple. Hey. But even she was Oprah then.
Hey, my son, my oldest son, mm-hmm. he watched the movie. And he was like, you know, the acting could have been a little better. I'm like, well, who acting was bad? He was like, nah, not bad. It was just, you know what I'm saying, certain parts could have been, you know, the acting could have been better. And I was like, who, Oprah? He was like, nah, not Oprah. Like, he couldn't even critique Oprah.
I don't want to get on the record with that type of
shit. He's like, I can't critique Oprah. Like, she's not an actor. I'm like,
Oprah's above critique. Pop.
Oprah is above critique. But, you know what I'm saying, I love the message. I love the execution of it is if you have little girls, it's definitely, you know what I'm saying, a good thing for girls and families.
Is it long?
Nah, not really. Okay. It seemed like they had a lot to get through.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So they was moving through it. Right. You know what I mean? But I would recommend it.
All right.
But with
be clear, this is not a black movie.
Yeah, be clear, it's not no action movie. This, you know what I'm saying, this ain't Wakanda. You're not going to Wakanda.
Right. This is a fairy tale.
This is a fairy tale that exists in a place that's far, far away from Wakanda.
right. Hilarious. Oh, man. Ah, shit, dude.
But shouts out to Ava. She did a great job. You know what I'm saying? And when I went to see my cousin over at ABC, mm-hmm. she was just saying how, because you know it wasn't a whole lot of black people on the campus,
right?
You know what I'm saying, on the lot rather, and she was saying nah, it's usually more da da da, especially when they were because Black Panther and A Wrinkle in Time were both doing post right. at the same time, plus they got you know Blackish and Grownish. So she was like, when that was going on, it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying, a big deal for the brown constituents on the mm-hmm. campus. And they said that, you know, they had like these talks or whatever. And she was saying how somebody asked on the panel, what would Walt Disney think we saw all these, you know what I'm saying, saw the amount of black people on the lot.
Hilarious.
So I was like, well, there's a lot of niggas here.
Let's get them gone. Please.
And he said that shit in the Mickey Mouse voice. Shit.
Oh, who said that?
I can't remember. I don't want to miscredit it, so I ain't going
This is at a Q&A?
This was a Q&A on the studio lot. One of the directors, either from Blackish I think one of the director of Blackish said it, but I don't want to miss.
Oh, you saw it? Wait, wait,
I didn't see it. My cousin was telling me about it. She was saying when all of that shit was happening, all at one time, they were posting Wrinkling Time, they was posting Black Panther, plus they were shooting Blackish and Grownish. Right. They would have like little panels and stuff.
Well,
okay. where the blacks congregate and talk to each other.
That's cool. That's cool. Like a little, it's like on a, what do they call that? The student, what's the African student?
The Black Student Union.
Black Student Union. Yeah, exactly. That's funny as shit.
The BSU.
Right. Speaking of, but I'll tell you that, if you black, you go to like a, when I do events and the BSU book me, or they did it in collaborate, they be letting you know, boy. They need you to know that they out there, they strong. It's I love that.
Like
shit.
We booked you. Yeah, now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you give us a shout out,
We out here.
Say the school, but also let them know
we a proud 7% of this population of this motherfucker. Saying?
We hold shit down.
Anyway,
we fought for you.
No doubt. No doubt. They make it sound like it was a fight, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, speaking of the Fear of a Black Planet, Supreme is doing this next drop. You know, not to get too deep into the hype, but I ain't gonna lie, this kind of caught me. Supreme is doing that. One of their next collabs is the Fear of a Black Planet / Supreme / I think it's Undercover collabo. And there's some fly shit. It's some actual, some fly little shit that's going to be resold stupid. T-shirts. It's coats, t-shirts, little paraphernalia type of things, like little accessories and shit like that. It's actually some pretty good stuff. Sometimes it could kind of be a little wonky. There's some fire shit. You know what I mean?
The commodification of the revolution.
Oh, man, yeah, the revolution may not be televised, but that shit will be
sold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get you a promo code if you can.
What Chuck, promo D, code what Chuck D had to say revolt. About this?
I don't know, Chuck D. That's the first thing I thought. I was like, I don't understand this shit. Nigga, they got some Fear of a Black Planet shoes that look terrible. Some Fear of a Black Planet Doc Martens.
Oh,
but you know what?
Get the fuck out of here.
The S150s they had on high top boots. They didn't have on Doc Martens, did they?
They didn't have on no Doc Martens. Okay. They had on some military grades. Okay. You know
that
what I'm saying?
Shit is hilarious.
That Public Enemy and Doc Martens were on the opposite end of the cultural spectrum.
But if you slide it back and forth, you'll see some of the fire shit. They got some cool shit there.
Okay. I mean, I ain't mad to get the money, but come on, man.
Yeah, I'm curious to...
Doc Martens, though?
I'm curious to know what Chuck's involvement is. Because this is the one thing, like, you know, Supreme was bought by the Carlyle Group, I believe, in the Carlyle.
I thought Louis Vuitton bought
Supreme. No, I think they just collabed with him. I think Supreme was just bought by the Carlyle Group maybe a couple months ago. Okay. A few months back in the Carlyle Group, you know.
I'm about to Google that.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, let me get my situation with this month.
Since it was already there.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me see what's cracking. Hold on.
You don't be Googling on my phone, motherfucker.
Hold on.
Says you passed it to me.
Yeah, no, I ain't.
We got the people listening. Baby.
How you doing, people? Yo, so y'all, you know, you'll get to it. We got Matt on research.
Okay.
Anyway. What else is going on? So that was that, man. I ain't really, again, like I popped out a couple times just to do shows, but then I was right back in the crib trying to beat this cold.
True.
What was that, you know?
Carlyle Group owns Louis Vuitton.
Okay. Did they just buy Louis Vuitton? No. Carlyle Group own a lot of shit, though. They down with like, I don't know if they was down with Osama. I think they was down with George W. Bush.
They might have already had Louis Vuitton.
Maybe, I don't know, but
They the same family now. Same, they all the same commercial thing.
Yeah, I'm curious how that was talked to with Chuck D, because I know Chuck could be.
Maybe might not have been Chuck, might have just been Def Jam.
That's true. Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, speaking about Long Island MCs, man, you came across something regarding Craig Mack. One more time, rest in peace to Craig Mack.
I came across a lot of things about Craig Mack. Everybody talking about Craig Mack today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, rightfully so.
No doubt. But nobody talked about Craig Mack. Why y'all ain't talking about Craig Mack last year?
Well, don't hold them. You know, you got to do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Let them get this off. Let them get this off right now. You know, yeah. Don't hit
them with the... only people I'm accepting Craig Mack stories from is people that worked at Bad Boy.
Hilarious.
Or that was around the Bad Boy era. Misa Hilton and all them. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious, man. Oh, man. I got a Craig Mack memory, though. Would you accept mine? I didn't ever
in relation to the conversation, yeah. Of course.
Because the first thing I thought about, my brother-in-law, when Flavor in Your Ear first came out, my brother-in-law, he was so open off of this beat. This beat mm-hmm. was so crazy. This is back when you could buy the CD single, right?
Right.
He had the CD single. He had that shit in the whip. In the young Camry with the good ass, the stereo was something, mm-hmm. and we must have listened to that shit. And it was, you know, this is my brother-in-law is a little older than me, so he hip hop, but he's not heavy hip hop all the time. He indulged in every
halfway disco era,
right? Little disco era, but like little old soul type of, right. You know what I mean? But when something hit him, it hit him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he one of them people that when it hit him, he'll play that shit like literally 20 to 30 times.
I might do the same. I'm not saying type of person.
So when Craig Mack's Flavor in Your Ear came out, I remember my brother-in-law Slade playing that shit literally like 20 times. And you didn't get tired of it.
Right.
Just to have the beginning of the shit coming and how different that beat was. And
like Easy Mo beat came, man, that shit sounded so futuristic. Like if you listen to it now and you're young, you wasn't around, it's hard to feel it. But at the time, when that shit came through, it just sounded so futuristic. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was New York, but not in the way that was alienating to the rest of the country. You know, it didn't sound like the typical New York beat. You know, it just was... It just had a different vibe about it.
It was a whole different vibe about it. It was like the beat sounded, it sounded like circular. You know what I mean? Like it was, did the boom, like that whole shit, how it, that whole shit, how it would kick. I was just listening to it earlier today. That's a hell of a record. And then his flow, his voice.
Yeah, his flow. You know, his voice was totally different.
His little, like a little ad-libs. Ha, boy. You know, all that old crazy shit. And I'm thinking, was the boy, was that a homage to, I'm being too deep, was that an homage to Flavor Flav? Because that's Long Island. Yeah, maybe.
Boy, all the time.
But yeah, that man, could be different. Know, but because I never really hear other people say boy, you know, besides Flav.
I thought
Flav.
That's what New York people said.
Nah, that was Flavor Flav.
Yeah, boy.
That was some Flavor Flav shit.
Because even now, like when my son was like in middle school, like all the kids was saying boy, but in a different kind of way. But that was like a, you know what I'm saying?
That's a different boy.
I thought it was just an extension of the old, like I'm like, oh, they done brought the boy back.
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying? I thought New York, because I was, you know, I'm in Florida. I thought New York people said boy.
Yeah, nah.
I thought that was the whole thing. Son, boy.
Son, boy. I never really heard
then
boy.
Dun, daddy, dun, dunny.
Yeah. But it was a dope record, man. I was a big fan. He kicked it off. He definitely kicked it off for Bad Boy. And then, you know, Big kind of, I mean, he took the momentum and kept going and going.
But they needed, like, I read Misa Hilton's story on Instagram. And
okay.
She was saying that how they were at the Palladium. Her and Puff was at the bar waiting on Flex to play the record.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying, kind of nervously waiting to see how people were going to respond. And he put the record on and, you know, everybody went crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's like all the hands was in the air. She was like, Puff was like, came over to her like, yo, we got a hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he needed this shit because he was fresh off of Uptown. So he had just did Jodeci.
Right.
He just did Mary J. He was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got fired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now he about to drop his own shit and it's the first shit.
He got to prove himself.
You know what I'm saying? You waiting on, because, you know, how do you come after Mary J. and Jodeci? Like Mary J. that summer of 92 was killing shit.
Right.
Jodeci came through and killed shit.
Right.
So now you're doing rap. It's not no longer the R&B. You got a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Nobody don't know that. No, Craig Mack, never heard of him.
Some people heard.
I'm talking about outside in the world.
You know, I hadn't heard of him, but people like he had another record. He had another record. Supposedly, like he was like a kind of like an underground hip hop cat, and I think he had a big regional record, maybe that was kind of really big on the island and in underground clubs. So a lot of, and I think what happened is he got quiet for a while. Mm-hmm. He got with Puff, and then it was almost like a reintroduction to people that knew him, and they were like really excited. Oh shit, he got it. He about to blow.
And I'm sure Puff found him from, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure he wasn't just sitting around and sucking his thumb and shit.
Right.
But, you know, we hadn't heard of him. Mm-hmm. And so you just waiting to see what this Puff Daddy gonna do.
Yeah.
And that shit came through. Yeah. That shit opened it up for Big to do what he did.
What, the remix?
No, just the just that song, the momentum. Just that momentum, just like you already had the clubs popping, so you know what I'm saying, wasn't no pressure for Puff to come with just another club hit, you know what I'm saying?
And it sounded, to your point, sounded so much different than most shit that was going on radio, that it's a good record to start a new record company with, because now it starts you on a whole different time. It's like this, we don't sound nothing like these motherfuckers. This is who we are.
Right. Then you had the remix with Busta, LL. Then that's when the Puff Dance came out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
My man Dave House made a point on Twitter. You know, he talked about LL. And I don't know. I got to research this. He said this might have been the last shout out that New York Radio got on a record. Because they shout out Kiss, BLS. You know what I mean? This is right before, like right before or right at the same time where Hot 97 was switching over. Mm-hmm. To being a hip hop station, and it was like a very regional hip hop 98.7 Kiss bounce to it. Like, you don't really hear nobody shouting out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a few Hot 97 shout outs.
Well, Hot 97, yeah. But, you know.
Not BLS and Kiss.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. It was interesting. Interesting aside, you saw an interesting fact.
I saw Questlove was posing pondering the question, was that hip hop's first viral instrumental? Because, you know, everybody started to jump on it for their mixtapes and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was big. It was viral. Everybody was rapping on it. But I don't know if it, I think like the song that they did motherfucking hip Rapper's Delight on was on like five different songs. You know what I'm saying? That was on a whole bunch of songs.
I mean, shit, I remember I felt like Top Billing, that motherfucking instrumental was crazy. Yeah. Like, even still, to this day, like, it just sounds so,
But the first viral record.
What's that?
That I kind of, that in my eyes, if I had to vote for the first viral hip hop record.
What makes the first viral
record? That mean everybody is jumping on that beat or that topic, or everybody's responding to, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, Quest was saying that everybody was just jumping on that beat. Like, it was,
they wanted to rhyme.
Everybody
on
wanted
it.
Just like you listened to this 20 times, everybody wanted to drop their verse on it too, because the remix was so strong. Everybody was just trying to put their verse on it. But for me, the first viral hip hop joint was Roxanne.
I don't know that beat.
The beat. You had Roxanne's Revenge, Roxanne. Oh. I'm Shantae, the real Roxanne. You had so many Roxanne records.
Were they all over the same beat though, or no?
They were the similar beat. You still had that the big beat. All of them was on that beat. Everybody had their own little twist to it, but you know what I'm saying. That was before. You just took the whole sample and just ran with it.
Right.
Everybody added a little something or took away something, but it was all on that same beat, and everybody had a response to that one record, which gave us the real Roxanne, which we got the movie from for now. Shout out to Mimi.
Yeah, produced. I'm excited to see that.
You know what I'm saying? That shit looked good, actually.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But to me, that was like a moment. Like, I hadn't been around, but that was a moment in music where it was like you was waiting on the next response, and the next response.
Right.
And that was crazy back then, because it was no internet. Motherfucker had to go to the studio, make a record, press that motherfucker up, send it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a longer process, but you was still waiting on the next one.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was hundreds of them, but it probably was like 15, 20 different records.
Was it that many?
Hell yeah. I'm gonna post a lot of them.
Post a lot of them, because I feel like it was rock. I thought it was maybe three or four.
It was a bunch of them shits.
So you saying that? I would say I'm trying to Google right now if Come Clean came out before
What's Come Clean?
J. Rue the Damager. Mm-hmm. If that came out before Flavor in Your Ear. Do you remember Come Clean? You want to fuck?
I probably do.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, that was the real New York.
That nigga. That was the ultimate niggas.
New York shit right there,
niggas.
Boy.
That was the, if you had some bars, nigga, put that shit on. And then later on, it became like the Benjamins beat was another viral joint.
When we was in college, you know what I'm saying? You know, the New Yorkers, they felt like they were isolated because we was in Florida.
Right.
So they don't get a whole lot of time, you know what I'm saying?
But, niggas pledge allegiance when that shit come on.
That shit right there, come on. New Yorkers come out the woodwork. Yeah. Like, what the fuck all these New York niggas come from?
Representation.
Niggas with dreads and big baggy polo.
That was like, I think that was one of my first favorite beats. Like, Flavor Year is bananas. That's up there. Mm-hmm. But Come Clean and then Dwick.
Yeah, yeah.
Dwick was another one. What do y'all think was the first viral instrumental? Let us know in the comments. Let us know if we forgetting some shit, because I'm sure we are. But I got for consideration Top Billing, Dwick. Come Clean.
Top Billing would be before.
That's before. That's clearly before.
That's before. I'm not sure what was before. I can't even put my mind on it.
I got to. Yeah, go ahead.
Nah, go ahead.
I got to read what Questlove wrote about that as far as what his reason for calling it the first viral situation. I will say this, though. If you a musician that's about to die, hope that you know Questlove, because he give you a nice little tribute. His obit game is one of the best.
And that brings me to something else. You know what I'm saying? It's not an uh-oh moment. It's
that's a hell of a transition.
Nah, it brings me like the Kennedy Center, you know, which did the Nas concert with the orchestra. They have created a hip-hop council.
Oh, right. I saw that. Q-Tip runs it?
Q-Tip is the lead, right. I guess, advisor. Fab Five Freddy's on it, I guess. I think Questlove.
Yeah.
Shout out to Xavier from Spotify, who went to Fan U as well.
I just
met him today, actually, and he told me about it. That's what really brought my attention to it. But having, you know, institutions like that create a situation where they're actually bringing together the culture to keep the culture, mm-hmm. and to keep this information and to put on things that kind of celebrate it and preserve, you know, the moments is a dope thing. Because, you know, like, we're trying to figure out certain things, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of times these things happen and go away. And we don't talk about them no more. And it's just...
What things?
Just like things happen in culture. Like Dwick happens. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you just kind of like... Or like you said, J. Rue the Damager.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You forget how impactful that shit was.
Right.
Flavor in the Ear.
You
know what I'm saying? Without Craig Mack dying, we're not talking about how impactful that shit was at the time. Like, that shit came out right when hip hop was breaking and niggas was really trying to figure a way to get into it as far as a business and as far as a career, you know? So when Flavor in Year came out, like that week, not few weeks after that was like the first How Can I Be Down in Miami.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Where they had the little hip hop conference was, you know, where everybody came down to try to figure out how they could get down.
And that was like one of the records.
That was one of the records that was playing, you know, when that was happening.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's, and to see how Puff Nam was promoting and all that shit. All of that shit is like historical record. Like you'll look at Puff, you know what I'm saying, 5 years from now, and you grew up, you was born in 2000 and shit. And you see Puff, he the, you know, the billionaire guy that sells Ciroc.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like so many layers, so many cultural moments happen for that person to get there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even though Craig Mack wasn't a billionaire, he contributed to that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And to have somewhere that's kind of not, and it, you can't just rely on the Kennedy Center, but it's a start in saying this type of information is valuable.
Yeah.
Let's preserve it in the best ways we can.
I agree. I always felt like especially as you, because I've been thinking about that, as you get older, you're not as connected to the music that's coming out right now, right? You've had your moment of when it was for you, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, rather than just dismissing it out of hand or whatever, you listen, you try to figure it out. If you dig it, you dig it. If you don't, you don't. But I think as you get older, rather than let that disconnect happen, as you become the elder, the OG, I think it's your duty, if you part of the culture, to kind of protect the context of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To explain why the Flavor in Your Ear was so big, or why these moments were big, and really, and it's, and because sometimes even we need the reminder.
Exactly.
Because you live in this shit and you forget, and it's a wrinkle in time, no pun intended. Exactly. But it's that little shit where you like, oh shit, I forgot. That's when such and such had it. Right. That's why he said that and that. And it's like it reveals it, and it makes it compelling to people that weren't even there. Because I always feel like that's so lazy when people be like, you had to be there.
Right.
I mean, you a bad storyteller.
Exactly. You're not keeping the history. Like, you know what I mean? You're not spreading it. Because in 20 years, when motherfuckers had to explain,
la-di-da-di-da, slept on me now.
Right. I want to hear that motherfucker explain that shit.
Yeah. I want to be at the motherfucking, at the Q&A.
Because it's like, I was, how the hell he got that off? I don't know, but he got it off.
Well, well, I was thinking.
You know, la-di-da-di-da, slap on me now.
Who is that, Juicy J? Who's that?
That's the fucking Future.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. You have Kendrick on there doing his thing. Blah, 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 then, then Future come in.
What record is that? That's not the
Black... That's on the Black Panther joint.
Okay, right.
La-di-da-di-da, slap on me now. Right.
Future gonna be Future. He said, yeah, I know this about Wakanda, but I got to get my mission, my message across.
The Future, yeah, that is crazy.
This knob's loud.
But I'm just saying how he said it.
Yeah.
He always fascinated me, but like, it was almost like when he did that song with Rihanna, like one of the first, like when he started that breaking out.
L-O-V-E-E,
L-O-V-E-E. Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
He would take his shot.
Y'all going to let this, like, him get this? It don't even seem like he actually... He like, I'm going to just do whatever the fuck and watch these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's serious, like seriously trying to. I know he's like, I'm going to just do some wild shit on the ass.
You think he do it just to see if he can get away with it?
He know he could get away with it at this point.
But that's what you think? You don't think it's inspired? You think it's like, wow, let me see what these.
Nah, I don't think he was really singing that L-O-E. Like, I'm going to just do some old. It was like when Biz came out with, oh baby, you
right.
It was kind of like, to me, that's how I took it. I'm like, oh, he doing some old biz shit.
I gotta listen to it some more of that particular record, because I will say, what gets it across with Future is the conviction. Even in the midst of that shit, you like, wait a minute, what the fuck? And that nigga mean that shit, or at least he's selling it. He's selling that shit. He said, fuck this, I mean this. Oh man,
his Future gonna go down the Hall of Fame, and I want to see the motherfucker who gonna explain him.
Right, break the whole shit down. Cause all it take is one or two motherfuckers with some big ass words and some interesting insight.
Mm-hmm.
It could all be explained if it's a good argument. I'll tell you that. I be listening to some of these people get explained, and I'm like, oh, interesting.
I saw somebody explaining LeBron and Jordan one more game. The classic explanation.
What's that?
But the only point he brought some new shit that nobody ever talks about in that argument. He was like, yeah, you know, everybody say LeBron lost 5 finals. You know what I'm saying? And Jordan never lost the final. And he was like, but nobody ever talks about Jordan got knocked out of the first round 3 times.
Mm.
He was like, LeBron never got knocked out of the first round.
Mm. Interesting.
But I'm not going to get into that argument. But I'm just saying, I thought that was, it made me think when he was breaking it down.
That's interesting. That's good to. I mean, it's such a, you know, it's definitely. I can't even. You know what? I'm not even equipped to get all the way into it. And I think, you know, I'm not the sports fan that know all the stats. I do enjoy this LeBron era. I'm trying to really enjoy it as it's going on still, and all these eras, KD. Mm-hmm. You know, Russell, Steph, like really enjoying these eras. Because I remember when I was young and I was watching Jordan, I was young. I was enjoying it. I knew it was the shit. Like, just like I enjoyed Mike Tyson, but the shit felt like it was like, boom. And I don't know if I don't want to say I took it for granted, because I even knew way back then that shit was special. So, like, now that we having something special again, not to say there ain't been no other special shit, but just to pay attention, this motherfucker LeBron is he a bad mother. He do some shit. He still, how long has he been in the league now? 13 years?
Shit.
something. 15. And he still does shit that's like, did you see the little no-look shit he did? It's like he playing with these motherfuckers out here. That was disrespectful, it dog.
It was disrespectful, but they lost that game.
Oh, did they? Yeah, they see, but they you know what? I didn't even know. They looked like they won that.
They ass mopped.
Oh, they got rocked on
they
that?
They got rocked.
Ah, shit. Damn. They doing all that N1 shit.
All that N1 shit.
They down by 20. Come on, LeBron. Yeah, man. Yeah, that Jordan era was different, man.
Yeah, man.
But LeBron out there doing a lot of fly shit, too, yeah, man.
I'm going to go check out a LeBron game. Couple weeks,
yeah.
Go holler at him. Not holler at him, but go holler at a game.
I'm trying to think. Did I see LeBron play? I think I might have seen him once when he was with the Heat. Mm-hmm. They played the Knicks. Him and Dwayne Wade. That shit. They was just. Yeah. It should look unreal when you see it in person, too.
For y'all who are out there listening, Damian is doing some
pantomime
and some wild hand motions.
This shit don't even look like basketball, but I mean,
I don't know what.
No, I mean, they was just
picking fruit.
Son, they were just doing shit with ease, like the most intricate flash, like penetrated with ease, like it was nothing. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like when you see certain athletes destroying the competition, making it like, is this your kid? You know what I mean? Like, nigga, come on, man. Shout out to, shout out to LeBron and Jordan and all of that other shit.
You know what I'm saying?
What else is
why they out here fucking with Bruno Mars, though?
What they say? He ain't black enough, right?
He appropriating the culture. I guess Michelle Indiegogliocello.
That's who said it?
She originated the conversation. Wow. She said that, you know, she was talking about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Blase skipping the third, and she said that Bruno Mars was a karaoke singer. And, you know, I don't disagree with the statement.
Okay.
I might have said it once or twice myself.
Uh-huh.
But
he could karaoke that shit.
He's necessary for the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't banish him and say he's a cultural appropriator because he fucking doing a live-ass interpretation of some old shit.
He love that shit.
You know what I'm saying? He do that shit. He do it right. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't mad at Bruno Mars because you need that shit for the party. You know what I'm saying? Here and there. You can't be all serious. You know what I'm saying? You need some shit that just take you away.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree. Karaoke singer. That's an interesting way. But I kind of felt that way too because he was, I don't want to say a karaoke singer. I say he's a hell of a performer, right? He's a hell of a performer. He's from Vegas, right? Didn't he grow up in Vegas?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Grew up with that. I think he used to be even an Elvis impersonator.
That's what I heard.
Right? Which I feel like everybody that was in Vegas was an Elvis impersonator at
Vegas
some point.
Vegas is a hard time.
Right. Yeah, you got to have a couple
gotta have
different,
a talent.
A few. So, so he's been performing. He'll give you his all. And he's a little guy, too. So it's like he got a moat even bigger sometimes. You
aren't
know what I mean?
All? Seem like most of them are.
Maybe, but we talk about Bruno. But Bruno be going for it. But the thing that you can't be mad at, like, one, he gonna give you a fucking hellified performance.
Yeah.
And he's in the spirit of the funk. Like, he's in the spirit of some of the, like,
and,
his.
And I'm a funk person, so
right,
I appreciate it.
Because the shit that he's channeling, oftentimes is shit that is overlooked a little bit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, he that motherfucker that go to the Goodwill and find some mean ass, some fly shit that, like, if you just had to dig a little deeper, you like, oh, wow, and he playing this shit. But he, you got to give him credit for being true because the shit, it feels like, you know, it feels inspired. It don't feel like, it don't feel like, oh, I'm about to flip this shit.
He's doing what he does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and for her to say that, that's cool because, I feel the same way. But he's good at that shit. You know what I'm saying? He does that shit. He ain't saying that he not out here saying he Marvin Gaye and shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He out here doing his motherfucking thing, dancing and motherfucking having fun and
and
showing the world a good time. You know? They don't fucking run Justin Timberlake do the same shit. But he fucking, you know what I'm saying, act like it's his.
Mm. Yeah, man, I fuck with what I heard. I fuck with the Bruno shit. Shout out to Michelle Indiegogliocello. She slept on. She be having some shit.
Yeah, she was one of them. outliers that, you know what I'm saying, you meet one of them girls that you're talking to that's on some other shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, some old mystical ass shit.
Right, right. They got
they
some
always
Michelle.
Got some Michelle in their yeah. cello in the right. back. You know
right,
saying?
Right, right. Super deep ass R&B shit.
Okay, you be over there just learning shit, yep. soaking up the energy.
Hell yeah. All types of shit. Yeah, shout out to that.
There's always a Michelle and Dayo Chella in the back.
Yeah.
Got a mystical one.
A mystical one. She, she's epileptic too, so.
Is she?
Yeah, I
so
think
she
so.
She can't do concerts.
Well, she could do concerts, but you can't do flash photography. If you do flash photography, she could, shit'll fuck her up. And I think there was the incident where somebody was doing a flash and niggas had to give it to that motherfucker. Cause it's clear, like they say, like, fam, shit could fuck the whole show up.
Mm-hmm.
No flash. And I think, you know,
somebody always going.
Somebody going.
Line step.
You know, and then got that.
They got that doo doo. Michelle and Diego Ocella got the goons on deck.
She had them goons on deck. You know what I mean? Flash mob of goons.
Yes, but that's the last thing you want. Yeah. A flash mob of goons on your ass.
Nah, but yeah, it's you know, yeah. Shout out to Bruno Mars though. He the last album was done with the Stereotypes, who I know them people and they good people. So I okay. salute that whole movement over there. They keep it thriving.
Word.
Keep it thriving.
Also, I haven't seen it, but they premiered the Liberty City Warriors docuseries at South By, which is, you know, Luke Skywalker, Luke Campbell,
right.
whatever you want to call him, Mr. Captain Dick, whatever you call him.
Okay.
Mr. Doodoo Brown.
All
right. He also started an Optimist Club, a football club in Miami, Liberty City Warriors, and LeBron's company, Maverick Carter and all them, mm-hmm. they're doing a docuseries on his football program, kind of like Coach Snoop,
right.
but his version. So they premiered that at South By yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And so, but you know what I'm saying? It's good to see him back in the light, kind of like
right.
able to tell his story and the shit that's important to him. Because, you know, he did so much for us when we was growing up
right.
that it's like, you know, instead of seeing him fall off and into the annals of hip hop history, you know what I'm saying? He's back in the light, kind of telling his story his right. way. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was pretty dope. Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Teresa Sanders, who out there working real hard, getting shit done. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Maverick Carter and those guys for seeing some Miami shit and putting it down.
Well, that's what's up. Man, Luke got that was a good ass book too, Luke's book. I don't think mm-hmm. that shit. I wouldn't be mad at a Luke biopic.
It's out there. It's signed, actually.
Yeah.
I think Lionsgate has it.
That could be dope.
You know what I'm saying? Because
there's so much shit that could, you know.
They just got to do it right.
It got to be right.
Got to be right.
If it's done right, that shit could be legendary.
I'm trying to be involved.
Yeah. Speak to
it. But they got to, they get, because if they do it, it got to be right.
Yeah.
It's easy to fuck up.
That's the biggest hurdle with all these biopics.
Hey, the good, like with Straight Outta Compton, the thing about it was the director, the people involved was like from that era, you know what I'm saying? Like from,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
They
so they had the texture and the nuance right, you know what I'm saying? When you had, even like with Black Panther, with Ryan,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they took bringing the Oakland shit and all that,
Oakland.
You know what I'm saying? He give you some real touch points, you know, the whole, even that whole movie, like they had just good touch points all along the way. They had the right people in the right jobs. So somewhere in there should be a job for Ali, Mr. 305, to be in there consulting on getting that shit right.
Shit. speaking to the people. Two things on that though. One, I used to pronounce biopic. Like
me too.
And I thought, you know what I mean?
I mean,
no,
until about wasn't, 2 years ago.
Yeah, people wasn't fucking
correcting you.
Nah, and I kinda almost still wanna say it because I like how biopic sounds.
Yeah, it sound better.
It sounds a little better.
Biopic sound like some laboratory shit, like some biology or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Biopic sound like, you know what I'm saying?
Biopic sounds a little bit more like interesting. Like they really gonna go, they gonna delve deep. This right. is a biopic. We going on.
I used to say that shit fucked up. Somebody corrected me, dog. I was embarrassed.
Oh yeah, I think I same way.
But you know what I'm saying? But I think it might have been on Straight Outta Compton or something right before some shit like that, because I was saying that shit up about 2 years ago.
Yeah, man. But the other thing is, did you listen to that kid, the Deacon, that I talked about last week?
Yeah, I was playing it. As soon as I got off the conversation, I was playing that shit in the caddy.
I think he's from Miami, too. Is he? He said, I think he should have the Deacon 305.
Oh,
I think
shit.
He's from Miami. I like that shit.
I was like, this would be some shit you would like, though.
I just like it.
He said some funny shit and then shouted out Bernie Mac.
Yeah. Now, that shit was funny as shit, man. Y'all check out the Deacon.
This show has been brought to you by the Deacon.
Yeah. The Deacon.
Motherfucker.
All types of shit, Supreme, whatever. Before we get out of here, yo, I'm thinking about, do you, either you mess with the stock market?
A little tiny bit, not as seriously up front, just on some old, you know, some long-term buys that have been had.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But not no, you know what I'm saying, not actively. My son, one of my sons, he on some cryptocurrency shit right now.
Yeah.
I should have got on cryptocurrency when my man D Hustle told me about it about 4 years ago.
Mm.
You know, he'd be in the future. He'd be too far in the future. He'd be like,
you like, I don't know.
Hey, D Hustle be in Silicon Valley, man, so far in the future, you'd be like, yeah, damn.
You got the 100-yard stare.
Your head be hurting trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
You're like, man, bring that shit in about 5 years, man. Hey, this motherfucker was early on Uber, early on cryptocurrency.
Well, he out there in the future.
That's what I'm saying. He live in the future.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes, you know, you got to just say, fuck it.
Yeah, it's tough. Depending on how your present is, it's hard to gamble on the future. You know what I mean? Because if your present feel precarious, woo-hoo! Do you mess with the stock market, Matt?
My present is a little too precarious. For a Jew here, I'm pretty bad with my financial planning long-term.
Oh, man. Shout out to all our Jewish listeners. Please don't take any offense. So you said you did a little bit, like funds, or you actually got some certain stocks? We ain't gonna get all the way into it, but I have
a little fund and certain little stocks.
Yeah,
and shit, you know what I'm saying? This is some old long term shit.
What motivated you to pick the stocks that you picked?
Just some shit that I was already fucking with. You know what I'm saying? Apple, Nike.
Just in your life.
You know what I'm saying? Some shit that was in my life. I should have did Apple when I was really fucking with it.
Right.
Back when nobody was fucking with it. I should have did it then.
Yeah.
Did it late.
I think I remember when Apple was like, I could be wrong, but if it wasn't about $30, it was about $80.
Yeah, under $100 and shit. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you go back to 2000, 2001, it was almost, I think, below 30 even. It was
low.
It was like
that's,
10.
That's when I should have did it. Because 2000, I was gambling. I was like, my wife was like, you know, we should get a PC. I'm like, I ain't buying no damn PC.
Because you came up on the Apple.
On Apple. You know what I'm saying? Atari computer first, and then the Apple IIe. And then from there, just Apple. But I should have did it, you know, right around 2000 when I had it, and I could
have. If you go with Apple, eBay, Amazon, and Google around 2000, you're set.
Oh, you're currently killing it right now.
I mean, if you can go for those for a stock.
If you went good, if you went scale.
If you put some good money in those back in like the late 90s, early 2000s,
right,
you're doing well today.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get one of my homies up here to talk about stocks, though, because I'm dipping my toe in a little bit, you know what I mean? But I want to see some more of that shit.
Yeah, man, you got to do your damn thing, man, if you got it. You know what I'm saying? If you got it to spend, you're going to drop that shit on some sneakers or some shit anyway. So go ahead and...
Right.
Go ahead.
You might as well
put it out there. Cut.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yo, what the fuck is this that you show? Is that... That's
Popovich.
That's Popovich.
With the Jordan face.
With the crying Jordan face, they turned it into the... They gave him the full-on... The CGI, that shit, they get it so innovative with these crying.
Hey, they got a Popovich out the playoff meme with the Jordan.
I didn't even
face.
Know it was playoff time already.
With the Jordan meme where they done kept his skin texture, his hair.
Got him looking like Morgan Freeman a little bit.
But he got the Jordan face.
Yeah, put that on the page.
That is too funny.
Anyway, tell the people where you're going to be at, man.
I'm going to be BK. I got to make a quick little trip down to the ATL to see what's good with the Keisha Lance Bottom administration and such. Then I'm going to be back. Like I said, probably hit Cleveland, do a game. And then, I'm going to be on the ground, man.
All right. All right, well, I'm going to be in Albany This Thursday through Sunday at Albany Funny Bone, the Cross Gates Mall. Come through, check that out. I'll also be in Minneapolis at Acme Comedy Company from the 20th to the 24th. So go ahead and grab some tickets right now while they're still on sale. And until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.